Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
We are in a series of sermons on building a life. You and I look at life. We live it every day. We're going to be looking at some scripture in just a second that will help us in this. But our goal is to understand that this is Bible-based. That when you and I look at life, and as we look at these passages of scripture, they will help us to understand the concept of life. You see, we worship on the Lord's Day. We assemble here on the first day of the week. We worship on the Lord's Day on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. We have a Bible study on Wednesday night, and we have other activities. But there are 168 hours in the week. And maybe if we spend all of the, you know, if we're here 2 or 3 hours on Sunday morning, a couple of hours on Sunday evening, if you stay maybe a little more than that, if you're here for Sunday night for the Master, then on Wednesday evening, I mean, you're looking at maybe 10 hours out of that 168 hours in a week's time. Then basically we're looking at the fact that life is lived on a day-to-day, hourly basis. In the book of Genesis 2 and verse number 7, you remember that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." That life is to be lived. That Jesus said, "I am come." He said, "The thief comes to rob and to steal, but I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." In John 10, verse 10, John 14, 6, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." In John 10, 10, "I'm come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly." Getting ahead of myself. When you and I look at these again, all of these scripture are designed to help us to understand just what life is as far as the child of God is concerned. In the book of Psalm, number 16, verse number 11, notice what the psalmist said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Notice that he said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence, that it is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures," and look at this, "forevermore." And so David again, and when you and I think of the words of David in the Psalms, and we find that over and over again that he encourages the concept of life. And when you and I look at David and we look at his life, then we understand why he would encourage us in such a fashion. In Psalm 27 and verse 1, notice the Bible says, "The Lord is the strength of my life." When you look at Psalm number 27, in that Psalm, you will find so much is said regarding life. The psalmist said, "The Lord, He is my joy, He is my salvation, He is the strength of my life." And he goes on to say that when the wicked, even mine enemies, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and failed. He said, "Though an host should encamp around me," he is basically saying again that God will help us, that God will be with us in this life. Deuteronomy 30 and verse number 19. I like this verse of Scripture. Moses said to the... Moses is old. Moses is getting ready to turn over the leadership of the children of Israel to Joshua. And now we come down to his last writings. He has written these five books called the Pentateuch. And so now when we get down to Deuteronomy chapter number 30, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death." Now I want to ask you a question. Do you and I not have that set before us every day? Notice what he said. "Blessing and cursing. Therefore," he said, "you," and I see this, he is saying to the children of Israel, "You have a choice." I think of the words of Joshua 24:15. When Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah." He said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether you serve the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, or the God on the other side of the flood." But he said, "As far as me and my house, we will serve Jehovah." And so Moses is saying to them, "I have set before you life and death." And he is saying to them, "You need to choose life." And so when you and I look at that, that's what we're saying. 1 Peter 3, verse 10. The Bible says, "For he that would love life." I love that fact. "For he that would love life and see good days." I believe he's saying something to us. That if we love life and we see good, I don't want you to raise your hand. But do not every one of us in this assembly tonight, do we not want to see good days? And Peter said, if you love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips if they speak no guile. So you and I look at life. And that's what we are endeavoring to do, and that is we're building a life. Now, Eddie knows a lot about construction. You and I know that he was here every day when we were building this auditorium. Now, he can tell you about all these things I've got up here. You know, there's a brick ledge, moss anchor. I have no idea what a moss anchor is. Foundation embeds. You know, I come up here every day, and it's exciting to see activity going on in different places. I don't know how old he was. He was in elementary school. And the school called Mama one day, and she said, Miss Acuff, we just called to find out what's wrong with Lowell. And Mama said, well, what do you mean, what's wrong with Lowell? And they said, well, he hadn't been to school in 3 days. When I say, these kids here today won't know what I'm talking about. We walk to school. I mean, if some of you need some help in that, I'll kind of guide you and show you what it's like. But we walk to school. We live several blocks from the school, and so we would walk to school. Well, what was taking place, my brother was on his way to school. They were working on the road. He found that a whole lot more interesting than sitting in a chair in a classroom. And so every day he would leave the house to go to school, but then he would sit there all day. He did that for 3 days and watch the construction on that road. Well, you know what? I love coming off of 20 and seeing what they do out here at Lee Road and Interstate 20 every day. I'm going to tell you, that's the slowest bunch of folks I've ever seen. I mean, they've been working out there, and it's just slow. And finally, I see they're putting up some columns out there, maybe some foundation. Now, here's what they're going to do. They're going to build a new bridge or a temporary bridge, and they're going to put you around that, and they're going to do just like they did up here at Lee, 92. But now, see, there's that foundation. There must be a foundation in order to build something. You remember Matthew chapter number 7. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, you remember what he said about the wise man and the foolish man. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, the wind blew, and the flood came, beat on the house, and it stood because it was founded upon a rock. But the man who hears these sayings and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man that built his house on the sand. If you build your house on the sand, if you build your life on a sand, it is not going to stand. It is not going to give you the shelter and the need that you have. The same thing is true with life. So when you and I, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. In 1 Peter 3:15, you remember that Paul writes, or 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul writes to Timothy, and he said, but if I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You and I must be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the pillar and ground of the truth. For you and I to try to build our life on anything other than the body of Jesus Christ is foolish, and it will not stand. Not only that, but you and I know that Christ is the foundation and the chief cornerstone. That's what He is in our life. Christ is the foundation. He is the chief cornerstone of our life. So when you and I look at this, and then as we talk about building a life, we're saying that there must be that foundation, and that foundation must be Christ Jesus. That foundation must be in the body of Jesus Christ, and then upon that foundation, then you and I can build a life. Now, there are three things that are needed in everyone's life. Three things are going to be needed. Number one, you need health. You and I must have good health. Food, exercise, rest. Because without the health, we're not going to be able to accomplish the things that we want to accomplish. Now, later on, I'm going to preach on this, but I'm just bringing it out for your benefit tonight. Not only that, but we need a spiritual life. Worship, Bible study, fellowship. We need each other. Wouldn't it be miserable? You know, I think in Costa Rica, I know Aaron has been down there. I don't know anything about that area. But, you know, I think about being in areas where I think about Stephen. I don't know if you got his newsletter, those of you who receive it. But I think about the in New Zealand, how that maybe they may have 20, 15, 20, or 30 people. That's got to be difficult, folks. When you and I understand, we have, and you know what happens? We take this fellowship sometimes for granted. We don't enjoy it, and we don't appreciate it like we should. Brethren need to fellowship together. We need to worship together. We need to study the Bible together. We need to fellowship together, because in so doing, it helps us to build. These are three things that we need. And then, we need pillars to help us to hold up these two things. Now, that's what this series of sermons is about. We have selected, as you already know, 12 pillars that will help us to build a life. Now, when you and I look at these, we have already talked about courage, the need for us to be courageous. We've already talked about integrity. Is your word as good as your bond? We have talked about how that we must persevere. We have talked about how that we must have wisdom. You know, not only just knowledge, but knowing how to use that knowledge. Sunday night, we talked about responsibility. That you and I need to take responsibility, number one, for our life. We need to take responsibility for whatever we're doing. If we have a job to do, do it. I think of a passage over in the Old Testament regarding David. And in that, I wrote an article several years ago called Now, Then, Do It. Now, you know, they said, well, we're going to do this. And David said, now then, do it. You want to do this? Now then, do it. And I think responsibility is the same thing. Humor tonight. We're going to talk about that, but I just want to bring out these others. There must be a flexibility, that we must be patient. Dear Lord, I pray for patience, and I want it right now. We must be confident. There's got to be some confidence as we live the Christian life. As we take these pillars, and as they uphold these things which we have talked about, good health, achievement. We're all interested in achievement. And then strength. So these are the 12 pillars that you and I are looking at. Now tonight, we're going to be looking at humor. A sense of humor. Now, I'm not talking about humor in preaching. Now many of you, most of you know, well aware of the fact that I use humor in preaching. I think it's a tremendous way to get a point across. I think folks will remember things. Now, I'm not trying to be a comedian. I'm not a comedian. I remember Brother Dale Flatt, great gospel preacher many years ago. Dale was very good with humor. He didn't use much of it in his preaching, but he was very, very good at humor. And he said one time, he said, I thought about being a comedian, and then I decided I'd just preach and get paid for it. And so, you know, when you think about humor, there have been those who said, well, I don't think there should ever be any humor in the pulpit. Well, that's your opinion, and you're welcome to it. I held a meeting in congregation. I held several meetings in congregation. And the last meeting I held in that congregation, their poor old preacher, bless his heart. I mean, if he had a smile, his face would have cracked up. I mean, it was just, he would get up. I would generally, I would make maybe a humorous point sometime throughout the sermon. And I'm telling you, every service, at the end of that service, he would get up and he'd say, well, now this is a serious matter. You know, well, sure it's serious. But let me tell you, he was so serious, he'd walk right by you and not even speak to you. That's how serious. And I don't usually say those things about a fellow gospel preacher, but somebody needs to help that old boy out. Anyway, a sense of humor. That when you and I, now I'm not talking about sermons. I'm not talking about preaching. I'm talking about in our life on a day-to-day basis. Now, when you and I look at a sense of humor, I've tried to connect a Bible character. Now, I don't know if you recognize this without me telling you what I'm talking about, but I think there is some humor when you read the Bible. Think about this. You remember what Jesus said? He said, now, first get the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to get the mote out of thy brother's eye. Now, that's like a fellow, I mean, Reminds me of the old boy going around to McDonald's. Y'all know about that story about the guy that McDonald's said they had a Braille menu. And they said, if you need a Braille menu, and he saw that. One day he went and he got a long PVC pipe. And he put on a pair of sunglasses and got in his car. And he went around McDonald's drive-thru, tapping on the edge of the thing, you know, to get up to the drive-thru. And when he got up there, he asked the lady, he said, can I have a Braille menu? Well, she looked around. He said she couldn't find it. She said, I can't find it, but would you like a picture menu? There are funny things in life. When I look at this, and you'll recognize when we look at it, Zacchaeus in Luke 19, 1 through 10. Now think about this. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. We sang that song, wee little man was he, climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. When he came up to the crowd, here's this little bitty fella. He might have been a little bit shorter than I am, and he couldn't see Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I just think that's kind of unique, isn't it? Why? I want to see the Lord. What am I going to do? I climb up in that tree. So here he was, and Jesus saw him, and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today. So when you and I look at this, it means being able to perceive comical things. That in our life on a day-to-day basis, that when you and I are able to perceive comical things, that it's going to help us in our life. Now, look at what the Bible says. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart. It's like a medicine. And when you and I think, when our heart is merry, there is a book, and I forget the author's name, the title of the book is None of These Diseases. He had a very rare disease. And he went to the hospital, the doctor, and they told him, they said, this disease that you have is very rare, but people do not survive this. They just do not survive this disease. So after a few days, he's in the hospital. He told his wife, he said, I want you to go, and now this has been many years ago, I want you to go rent me a 16-millimeter projector. And I want you, get me out of this hospital. I mean, this is a drab place. Get me out of the hospital. Rent me a motel. And you get me a 16-millimeter projector, you rent me a motel, and you go find every comical movie that you can find, or cartoon, Three Stooges. And so he checked himself into the motel, got the 16-millimeter projector, and for days upon end, you know what happened? He survived that disease. Became an instructor in the School of Medicine in the University of Southern California. See, a merry heart doeth good. Now, I'm going to show you something in a few minutes. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. We don't have to go around with this drab, dull, dry spirit. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 4, along with other things, there is a time to laugh. Do we weep? Yes. The Bible says we weep with those that weep. There are sad times in the lives of every one of us. But there is also a time to laugh. If you and I can begin to see those times, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Psalm 32, verse 11. I love that verse. Be glad in the Lord. Why? You know, I think about Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the earth shake with the swelling thereof. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Oh, he said the heathen raged, the enemy came. In that 12, almost 12 verses of Psalm 46, more than 20 times the word God, or referring to God, or referring to God's plan and method, are used in Psalm number 46. Now, here are six things, and this very quickly. I don't have a scripture for these. but they're just some common sense. Six things humor will do. Number one, and you can find the medical background. There are medical information that will back every one of these. Laughter relaxes the whole body. Now, we've got great gospel preachers, but now if you're somewhere and if you're at a gospel meeting or you're listening to a speaker, and when that speaker begins, he will maybe if he makes an out of the way comment or he gives an illustration, you know what happens? If you'll watch the audience, they'll cross their legs, they'll uncross their legs, they'll move, they'll turn to the right or they'll turn to the left. See, humor. How many times have we seen situations where, man, it's kind of drab and dull and somebody says something humorous and all of a sudden we feel better. Laughter boosts the immune system. I mean, when there's medical evidence behind all this. I'm not a doctor and I'm not going to go through every bit of it. I'm going through some of it. But, when you look at it, it boosts the immune system. Now, again, somebody says, well, now, Brother Acuff, you just don't know what's going on in my life. Well, that's for sure, I don't. But I know what medical science can tell us, and I know what the Bible can tell us. And so if I were always sick, I mean always sick, maybe it is that I'm not laughing enough in my life. Laughter triggers the release of endorphins. Just kind of keep that on the side a minute, but we'll come back to it. Laughter protects the heart. It relaxes the whole body. Laughter dissolves distressing emotions. You know, when you look at things and we have the ability to just laugh, how much it helps us to do that. Laughter helps you to relax and recharge. Now, here are six things. I believe these six things help us. I believe they help us to enjoy life more. I believe they help us to overcome problems and difficulties in our life. When you and I look at the content of a sense of humor, now, here is an idea that I want you to think about. And that an endorphin is the name for a set of hormones that affect receptors in the brain, in the hypothalamus, I believe it is. If there's a doctor in the audience, and if you'll see me afterwards, I'll get a specific idea. But it often reduces the sensation of pain and stress. That goes back to the illustration I gave you from the book, None of These Diseases. That endorphins, what does it do? They affect the receptors in the brain. Do you remember what we said just in the previous slide? And that is that what does laughter do? What does a sense of humor do? Well, what it does, it releases those endorphins in our brain. And what does that do? It helps us to relax and it helps us to do away with some of that stress. All right, and I'm going to give you five things. Folks smile. Let me see. Everybody smile. I mean, there you go. Smiling releases endorphins. You know, when your doctor comes in and say you're going to die, say, man. Kind of like the lady who the doctor told her, said you've got 3 months to live. She said, is there anything I can do that would make it, to help me live longer? 3 months. Is there anything I can do? The doctor had a sense of humor. He said, yeah, go out to Iowa. Find you a man out there and marry a pig farmer. She said, you mean that'll help me live longer? He said, no, it just seemed that way. And so, learn how to smile. Now, this next one, I just thought was cute and I just added it because I liked it, you know. Did you smile today? You know, folks, isn't it great to smile? We feel better when we do. And that's one of it releases those endorphins, and we're just going to do better. Exercise. I'm going to hurry on through this one. I exercised yesterday. I made 15 trips up and down our steps at home. I told you, what were we thinking when we bought a house that had steps in it? Well, we bought that when we... Well, let's go on, folks. Exercise. Eat dark chocolate. One piece a day will make you happier. Well, I believe if one piece will make you happier, two will even double it. You wonder why I like chocolate pie? Good for you. Makes you feel good. Never eaten a chocolate pie yet and went away feeling bad. Hey, you know, my family knows if you want to get, you know, we got to get Dad something. We got to get, we got to do something for Dad. And they come along with a bag of some kind of a dark chocolate, and let me tell you, I eat it, so it's enjoyable. Be happy. Be happy, folks. It is weird that just having positive thoughts can physically change your body, but it can. Be optimistic. Be inspired. See, when you and I just, you know, I love that song. I forget the guy's name. I've got it. Be happy. Have you, y'all know what I'm talking about. It's been out here for so long. But you know what? When you and I are happy and then laugh, this has to be true, not forced laughter. Folks, it's the deeper. The deeper you laugh, the better. Watch a slapstick comedies, funny jokes with friends. Now, I don't know about this. Go up to strangers on the street and make funny sounds. Have you ever seen someone, have you ever noticed this? Have you ever been somewhere and you see someone go through a spider web, but you don't know it's a spider web? And they're doing this, you know? This guy's going crazy. Or a bee gets after them and you can't see the bee in there. Hey, listen. Pick up and read through the comic section of a newspaper. I love the Lockhorns. I don't know if it's in any of our newspaper or not, but I love the Lockhorns. One day he's going through the checkbook. And he noticed in the checkbook that there was a check written to a beauty salon. And he turned to his wife and he said, "You have to pay in advance." And so, at any rate, learn how to laugh. Now, folks, I think as you and I just had to add that. I thought that was pretty cute. We learn how to laugh in life. When we do, things change. Now, here are some random thoughts. I thought there's a story of a cute Peanuts cartoon where Lucy says to Snoopy, "There are times when you really bug me, but I must admit there are also times when I feel like giving you a big hug." Snoopy replies, "That's the way I am, huggable and buggable." Well, there are some folks that are like that. Huggable, buggable. There's some folks that bug life out of you. But you love them. They can also make you laugh. The preacher Charles Spurgeon said this. He preached to thousands of people. He thinks it's less a crime to cause momentary laughter in a sermon than a half hour of profound slumber. There's a lot of truth to that, folks. You know, I've preached sermons, and I've had folks come out and criticize me and say, "Brother Acuff, you used too much humor." The guy sitting over next to him snored. Now, folks, listen. You and I know how to be reasonable. You and I need to understand life. And so, as you and I think about that, I think about Aaron and the golden calf. You remember that? When Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, and he comes back and there's this golden calf. And he goes up. Now, I'm telling you, my friend, Aaron wasn't a dumb fella. And Moses said, "Aaron, how did this come about?" Well, he said the folks just brought their stuff in and we threw it in the fire and poof. Yeah. Elijah, he mocks the 450 priests of Baal. Well, maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's entertaining. Maybe he's taking a nap. You see, folks, when you and I look at life, we can find those things that will help us on a daily basis. I love the passage. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." I thought about the little boy who went to Bible school. And he comes home and his mother asks him, said, "Son, what did you study in Bible school?" He said, "Mom, I'll tell you, it was tremendous." He said, we learned about this general in the army. His name was Moses. And he had this great battalion of people. And he said he led these people up to this great sea. And he said, Mom, he said, what Moses called the engineers and said they put together a pontoon bridge across this great sea. And Moses divided all these people up into regiments and they all went across the bridge, that pontoon bridge over the sea. And then once everybody got on the other side and the enemy started, he sent back the demolition crew and they put dynamite in there and blew up the bridge. She said, Son, is that the way she told it? He said, No, Mama, but I'm going to tell you, if I told it the way she did, you really wouldn't believe it. Now, folks, humor. The day's going to come. We go to heaven. Have you ever thought about what heaven's going to be like? We're not going to be walking around, well, I'll declare what's going on. No, no. That's not heaven. There's not going to be any tears in heaven. There's not going to be any sickness in heaven. There's not going to be any death in heaven. There's not going to be any night in heaven. The light of the Son of God will brighten our day. We'll gather around the throne of God and worship. We'll sing. We'll praise God. You tell me that's not a joyous occasion? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice.